You're listening to The Dollop. This is a 10-minute podcast for Steven Woods.
Yeah, Steven, you motherfucker.
How you doing, girl?
Girl, you're going to get it. You're going to get it, girl. Get it right now. Wait, what are we saying anymore? What's happening now? Feels like the podcast is taking a strange direction.
1963.
Okay.
Driving is one of the most dangerous activities that Americans engage in, and most do it every day, and they don't realize the peril.
Now, first of all, this is going to affect me. I'm one of these people.
Every year in the U.S., there are approximately 6.5 million traffic accidents, resulting in 42,000 fatalities.
This is really uplifting.
This is the story of one of those accidents.
Okay.
Midland, Texas.
I've been there.
1963.
Not then.
A 17-year-old Laura Welsh had run a stop sign, causing the death of the sole occupant of the vehicle hers had struck.
Wait.
That didn't make sense.
She killed someone.
Right.
She killed someone at a stop sign.
According to the report, the future First Lady, Laura Bush, had been driving her Chevrolet sedan to a local drive-in theater on a clear night shortly after 8 p.m.
The
6th of November, 1963.
Wait, what's happening right now?
When she entered an intersection without heeding a stop sign and collided with a sedan driven by 17-year-old Michael Douglas. Also in the
from
car...
From Wall Street?
That would be amazing.
I can't believe that she just hit me and killed me. That's my Michael Douglas.
It's really bad.
First time I've tried it. Yeah,
it's very awesome.
I got a good Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
The people of the nation need to understand that if we're going to get anything done in Washington, D.C., we need to stop being at the whim of the millionaires and the billionaires and start to make a middle class in the future that is strong for America, that was America's foundation.
It's awesome. Also in the car with Laura was her friend, 17-year-old Judy Dykes. Judy Dykes, you know what I'm talking about? Come on!
Judy definitely Dykes, bro. One thing I know about Judy, she death Dykes.
How fast Laura might have been driving is open to question. That part of the police report is illegible.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Shocking.
Although, two biographies...
Illegible means totally blacked out, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Biographies report that she was going 50 miles an hour at the time of the
50?
Collision. 50. She blew through a stop sign at 50.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
The speed limit on that portion of the road was 55 miles an hour.
I can't drive.
Right?
Yeah.
According to the police report, neither driver had been drinking, but no tests were performed.
That's interesting.
No charges were filed as a result of the accident.
Interesting. So, okay.
News reports from 1963 reported the young man as having been thrown from his car and dying of a broken neck.
Eesh.
He was pronounced dead on arrival at Midland Memorial Hospital. According to various biographies of Mrs. Bush, the boy's father had been traveling in a car immediately behind his son's and saw the whole thing.
Oh, fucking A.
It's just like a Bush.
Seriously.
Right?
Yeah.
You just kill somebody
else.
Goes
all in, and then everything's fucked up, and nobody has to pay for anything.
And everybody suffers but you.
Yeah, everyone suffers but you.
The two teen girls were taken to the same hospital and treated for minor injuries that amounted to bumps and bruises. The young man, Michael Douglas, who was killed, had been a member of Laura's crowd at high school and her friend. He had been a star athlete, excelling in track and football, and was looked up to by his peers not just for his athletic prowess, but his personality and intelligence, too.
Oh, cool. Well, glad he's gone. Thanks, Bush.
So she killed an awesome dude
yeah.
and then married a fucking asshole.
Hey, you know.
Texas.
Yay, Texas women. He's a good man. I remember when Bush was running against Kerry and I was dating a girl from Texas and I was there with her parents.
Oh.
And I was like so anti-Bush
yeah.
that I couldn't do anything about it. Like if it came up, it wasn't like I was like, well, let's be polite.
Yeah.
I would talk shit and she just looked at me and she goes, the difference is he's a good man.
Yeah! Oh my God.
I was like, oh God. It's tough, right?
He avoided the war while, he's a good man. While your Kerry went and fought in it like he's an asshole.
Yeah, and threw his medals because he got the Swift boat.
He did heroin and all kinds of drugs.
Him and Jane Fonda basically freed the Vietnam. Wait, what? He's a good man.
Sore. That's why Vietnam is soaring now.
Think about it.
So the kid was also most likable, outgoing, and funny. He was nominated as the school's most popular boy while a junior.
Oh, boy.
An honor that almost always went to a senior. So yeah. She killed
the coolest dude in school.
The best guy.
All right. Good for her.
There's always been speculation about the nature of his relationship with Laura.
Oh, wait a second.
One rumor asserts that the two never dated, but that Laura had been romantically interested in him. Another claims he had been Laura's boyfriend when he died, and another that he once had been her boyfriend, but the couple had broken up.
So are we about to paint a picture where Laura Bush intentionally manslaughtered a man?
That's what people think. She's 17. She was going through...
Look, I will say that... George W. Bush is a piece of human shit and is the worst and, you know, probably is a lizard man underneath human skin.
Without a doubt, he's a lizard man.
But she seemed okay.
She got into an accident. She killed a friend.
All right.
But a lot of people think she murdered.
Okay, anyway, let's get back to the murder tale.
The accident is difficult to understand in that it took place on a clear night on dry pavement at a crossroads described as the middle of nowhere. So she was driving in flat Texas... In the middle of nowhere.
During the day.
And somehow didn't see a car and blew through a stop sign
and killed the cool dude.
The view was unobstructed and the stop sign was clearly visible.
But someone could have easily put don't above it.
Right? They could have put don't.
There's a lot of stuff.
They could have put don't.
Yeah.
Or pot of gold if you go through this.
Yeah. Or if they did the don't, then under it just go believing. I mean, I'm just saying there's, who knows?
I get it.
The journey's still out.
But looking at the weather and road conditions to explain what happened may miss the obvious.
Obviously Satan was with her.
There were two teen girls in the car, girls who were on their way to a party and would likely have been babbling with chatter about who would be there.
You excited about who's going
to
be there?
I can't wait to see. I don't know.
I'm kind of
thinking. Douglas is going to be there.
I understand Michael's going to be there, but also Stuart.
Laura, the driver, had turned 17 only 2 days earlier. She and her passenger were still of age when they could all too easily shut out everything going on around them, even the approach of another car and a stop sign and horns.
So for those of us keeping score, that's Laura Bush, one death, George W. Bush, 1.5 million deaths. So...
In her 2010 autobiography, Laura Bush attributed the accident to a combination of a dangerous intersection, the darkness of night, a less than safe car on the victim's part.
Uh-huh.
On the victim's part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he didn't have a car that could get hit at 50. Do they make those yet?
I blame him because he wasn't driving an army tank.
Well, look, he wouldn't be dead.
What was I supposed to do?
If he didn't have a shit car.
Like, his car was
a fucking asshole.
Trust me, when I hit him going 50, it just evaporated. That's not on me. That's on bad car making.
That's bad cars.
Bad karma.
She also said she did not have good eyesight.
Oh, that's cool. It was dark. It was a bad intersection. I didn't have eyesight, and he drove a piece of foil.
I mean, the lights, it's not like his lights were off.
Who
can't
see?
It's even worse
if
it's dark because then you can see fucking lights. She said Mike Douglas was a close friend, but not her boyfriend. Quote, I left Judy's house and headed to the Loop, which back then was a little country road with no street lights circling around Midland. We talked as I drove along the pitch black road. I knew in my mind that somewhere ahead was a right turn for Big Spring Street where the drive-in theater was. Because the Loop almost dead-ended at Big String. Beyond the turn, the asphalt stopped, and there was nothing more than a trail of unpaved dirt and dust. Most drivers turned right toward town. I knew there was a turn, but where that turn seemed very far away, until suddenly, off in the middle of a field, I glimpsed a stop sign with the corner beam of my headlights. At that moment, I heard Judy's voice, "There's a stop sign!" And I just couldn't stop. I was going along a little below the speed limit, which was 55 miles an hour. The next thing I knew, I was in the intersection, and immediately in front of me was another car. It came rushing out of the darkness.
Ah!
Like a bat!
Like Jason in Friday the 13th, this car appeared.
It was a magic car!
Yeah. And somehow still made of plastic.
I was right upon it. With a second to turn the wheel, all I heard was the horrible sound of metal colliding, the catastrophic boom that occurs when two hard pieces of metal make contact.
A sound the Iraqis are very familiar with.
So that has been vetted and rewritten by a lawyer.
Right. Gotcha.
Mike was a handsome boy with a beautiful smile, and he was a top athlete at Lee. He was not my boyfriend, although for a decade some in the press have claimed he was. But for years, he was my very close fingering friend.
Excuse me? Did you... I'm just...
I put a word in.
And it was friend, right?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it was very.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So they were just finger pals.
All through high school, Mike and I were good friends. We talked on the phone for hours. I mean, come on. Who talks to a fucking
somebody's
boy
for trying
hours?
To fuck who?
I mean, Jesus Christ. He
somebody's
to
trying to
him.
Fuck someone.
And so he's the fucking top dog, and she's just this girl. She wanted to fucking get that dick
yeah,
in her.
Of course she did.
Quote, she wanted to get that dick in her.
I'm going to need to see some evidence of that being quoted.
Mike's circle of close friends included nearly all my own. And so it was unbelievable to me that it was his car in that almost always empty intersection.
Unbelievable to all of us, Laura.
It was a small car, a Corvair Monza.
Oh,
Detroit's version
Corvair.
Of a compact.
Sure.
Economy car designed to compete with the Volkswagen Beetle. It was sporty and sleek, and it was also the car that Ralph Nader made famous in his book Unsafe at Any Speed. He claimed the car was unstable and prone to rollover accidents. But this wasn't a rollover accident. This was you hitting him at high speeds and him flying through the windshield.
Yeah. No car is impervious to a 50-mile-per-hour vehicle coming at it when it's basically stopped.
Yeah. I was driving my dad's much larger and heavier Chevy Impala. Later, George would finger bang me.
Sorry.
Until I passed out in the back of that Impala.
Sorry.
Impala.
Just so you know, are you going off script a little and quoting? I'm quoting things that aren't quotes.
I'm adding things that I think are in our head.
Okay, I'll just okay.
Right. Yep.
That last one being one of them.
He still finger blasts me in the White House.
Okay, that's from the book.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, sort of is troubling.
So many lives were wrecked that night at the corner, which was known as a particularly dangerous place.
Did I mention it was dangerous there?
And that you couldn't see in the dark?
And that Mike Douglas was cool, but not super cool?
Things came out of nowhere because one side... Okay, so the road we're driving
on... I blame Judy!
The road we're driving on is fine. The other one, you go through a wormhole, and then you come out of the wormhole right before the stop sign.
Judy is a cunt and needs to be stopped.
Look. Tiny cars and that cunt Judy.
Oh, God, if I could get my hands on that cunt Judy.
Art of that year, two other people had lost their lives in crashes where the loop met Big Spring Street. Okay. After Mike's death, the city did install a much bigger stop sign and posted warnings.
Okay.
A dangerous intersection, a less than safe car, and me. I didn't see well. I didn't ever see well, and maybe that played a part. Or maybe it was simply dark and Judy and I were talking and I was an inexperienced driver who got... to a corner before I expected it. Then there are the circumstances of the crash. It was 8 p.m. on a November night in Texas on roads far removed from any town, so it was dark.
This is her version.
It's 8 p.m. and it's fucking dark. That means his lights are on.
Were we just saying it was daylight?
He's not. No, it's dark.
Oh, okay. Either way, though,
he's not speeding with his dad behind him with the lights off. Hey, Dad, you want to do something funny? Let's go lights off all the way to town.
Hey, Dad, let's try to get killed tonight.
Hey, son, are you a queer or are you a man?
I told you, Dad, I'm not queer.
All right, so we're driving with the lights off.
Maybe I do like dick.
That's Texas. With no stop sign facing him, the doomed young man would have had no reason to slow his vehicle, even if he had seen another car approaching the intersection. He therefore would have been traveling at least 50 miles an hour. Laura ran the stop sign facing her, so there is reason to assume she, too, was
an idiot.
50.
Yeah.
The speed she would have been doing if she'd had the right of way. Considering the two cars traveling in the dark at right angles to each other, each going approximately 50 miles an hour, the span of time available in which to form murderous intent would have amounted to mere seconds, given the speed at which the event was unfolding and how close the two vehicles had to be to one each other. So people, yeah, but people do think she murdered. People think that somehow she like she timed it out perfectly in the dark to kill a kid.
She's very good.
She's very good.
The truth is, if that crash, so if that crash had just been 2 seconds later, George W. Bush was maybe never president of the United States.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. That's what this is all about.
Jesus Christ.
One emailed version of a rumor that she murdered him tries to supply an answer to the inconsistency, saying she knew it was her boyfriend's car driving south because of the unique headlight configuration of his 1962.
She's not a Terminator. Good God.
Like, in her head, she sees headlights that are the same as her boyfriend, and she goes, I'm going to kill this motherfucker.
If my calculations are correct, there's a 9% chance that is Michael.
The vehicles are traveling at right angles to one another, so an unusual headlight array on one wouldn't necessarily have been easily visible to the other.
Sure.
Also, people say, automotive experts say, the headlights on the Corvair were pretty typical of cars of the day.
Yeah.
Two headlights on each side.
Think about like,
one
seeing,
headlight.
Think about seeing headlights and being like, I know that.
That's the motherfucker!
Especially then.
So 17-year-old Laura did cause the death of a friend by running a stop sign, but to see more on the story than that is to be completely fucking insane.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it is always easier to attribute malice to bad outcomes, but that does not mean malice is an integral component of tragedy.
And it's not like we're not down to shit on Laura Bush. Good God.
Laura did not find out that the driver of the other vehicle had died at the scene until later when she and her girlfriend were being treated at the hospital. And she did not learn that it was her friend Mike Douglas until even later when her parents arrived and told her.
More good news.
She was devastated.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, Laura, this is great. First of all, you wrecked the car, second, you killed your buddy.
You want good news or...
Better news.
I shouldn't have said that there is good news. There's not good news. Do you want some pieces of horrible news?
Honey, you've tasted blood. Do you want to taste more blood?
Here's George W. Bush at a barbecue.
We're going to go on a killing spree.
Okay.
She was just 17, and she'd taken the life of her friend. She has since carried the weight of this, and it changed her, at least according to those who knew her before and after. Only rarely has she spoken of this. But even those on occasions, her answers have been oblique, almost as if she cannot bear to think of it, let alone speak of it.
How great would it be to get like 5 minutes in the White House with the Bushes, and that's the only thing you want to talk about?
Hey, tell me about the dead fella.
So did you really murder Michael Douglas, or was that really an accident? Laura, Mrs. Vice
President. Why do you keep looking away from me, weirdo? Because you're a fucking killer? Are you a killer? Is that why you can't look me in the fucking eyes?
Oh, God. Well, okay.
Yep, there you go.
All right.
Hope you're happy, Steven.
Yeah, Steven, hope you're happy.
Thanks for donating to the Kickstarter.
Yes, Steven, we are happy.
You got 18 minutes, and I also spelled Laura Bush wrong, and that's what you're going to get. You're going to get Lasura Bush.
Okay, so this is the story of Lasura Bush, the car murderer.